now we're going to get to our passage, and we're going to go through Ephesians 1, chapter 2, I mean. We're going to go through 1 through 10, and I'm going to go through this pretty quick, okay? I wanted to kind of set us up because I feel like you're going to understand Ephesians 2 differently now that you get just where we are to get to this place. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you walked. All right, that's the first verse in Ephesians 2. You were dead. D-E-D. Dead. Okay, I think you got that. Okay. Ephesians 2 is about your walk. And what was your walk like before Jesus? Did you walk in grace? No, what did you walk in? Yeah. Trespasses and sin, because you were dead. Yeah. Everyone is dead walking without Jesus. There is no life in sin, only death. Genesis 2, verse 16 says this: the day that you eat the fruit of sin, you will die. The day of. And God was right when that happened. Even though Adam physically was alive, spiritually he was dead. And Paul, when Paul says you were dead in trespasses and sins, obviously he wasn't talking about your physical life. He was talking about your spiritual and soul life. You were dead. Just as Adam was dead. Just as Eve was dead. Because the day you eat of sin, you die. That day. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Garden of Eden. God told them, you can eat of every tree in the garden. Except one. Now, Casey, suppose you made a test and you said that every answer, I'm going to give you a question, and every answer I'm going to offer you as a choice is correct except for one. You ever given a test like that? That's how God is. Usually it's the opposite, isn't it? All the choices are incorrect except for one correct. Am I right? Yep. But in the multiple choice test for God and Adam and Eve, all the other questions were correct except for one. Eat of all the trees. They're all good. All of it's good, all of it's right, just don't choose the one wrong. So I don't know how many trees there were there. Could have been 10. So here's your question. Which one is right? 9 of them. One tree wasn't. Guess which one she ate of? It could have been 20 trees, right? We know there are 10 commandments. So I could probably say, yeah, there might have been 10 trees in that garden to eat from, right? But all it took was eating from one tree, even though they had a multiple choice test and all of the questions were correct except for one. That's amazing. That is just amazing how God is. Only one sin at one time will bring death. So you were dead. You were dead. You only have to say no once. Wow. Well, Ephesians 2, let's finish off it. Second part of the verse. In which you once walked, following, now look what you followed when you were dead. Following the course of this world. Everybody say course of the world. Number 2, following the prince of the power of the air. Yeah. And then the spirit that is now at work in the children or sons of unbelief. Disobedience, unbelief, same thing. No faith. So Adam wasn't alone, was he? When Adam sinned, was he alone? No. He wasn't. We sin and we walk in unrighteousness many times because we are not alone, and it just takes a little nudge from somebody else to make us sin. I mean, I can go back in my mind and I remember growing up with certain people that made me better in my behavior and some people that didn't make me better in my behavior. It's who I was hanging with. Come on, I'm just being honest, and you better be too. You know what, lightning may strike. But you hang around people, some people, and they do not bring the best out of you. They bring the worst out of you, and yet you still hang with them. Duh. What are you doing? See, I know that. So part of God's grace is knowing how to deal with sin that's connected to you. Part of walking in grace is learning, because it says that you were influenced by the course of this world. The course means, is the word age. And it really means the culture. It's the culture. And there is culture in our lives that is inherently sinful and not graceful. Just by being an American or growing up wherever you were, you are just in this environment that automatically influences you to not walk in grace. That's why we have to be set free from the prison. And we need Jesus to save us, first of all, to get us cut off from our culture. God has to cut you out of the influence of the culture. The second thing that God has to cut you off is the prince or the ruler. Now, I think it's really interesting, but the word ruler is a leader as well as the stick we were talking about that tells you to measure up to that amount. So you're influenced by a culture, but you're also influenced by spiritual rulers that are pulling your strings. You may not even know it, but you're being played without Jesus. If you're not walking in grace, there are demons, there are spirits, there are spiritual rulers that are trying to make you not follow God. And you got to know. You got to know when you're dealing with them. I'll just give you an example in my personal life. I feel that discouragement is one of the major weapons of the devil against Christians, where the rulers get really mad at you and they do something and you start getting these really discouraging thoughts going through your head. And you're like, where in the world did that come from? You know, the devil does not test you or tempt you by saying Jesus is awesome and you just need to do the right thing here. And he doesn't say that. He'll just say, you are no good. You're a failure. You messed up. This church isn't going to make it. Your car is going to blow up tomorrow. You know what I mean? You're going to lose your job. I mean, it's all these negative thoughts and words. That is the prince of the power of the air. And that gets you discouraged. And if you're discouraged, you are not going to walk in grace. You're going to walk in your own strength and mess up and be negative. So, don't make your culture your cult, and don't let the devil run you by his rules. Don't play by the devil's rules. Boom. Come on, let's say it. Ready? Don't play by the devil's rules. I don't play by your rules. Bam. Take them out. Knock them out. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God... Yeah, we'll go through verse 3. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Let's all say it together. By grace. By grace. You have been saved. There it is. All right, so the first thing he did is he made us alive with Christ. And then he says he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness in Christ Jesus. Notice that you are sitting down before you walk. Because look at verse 8. By grace you are saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, for that no man will boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you have to sit down with Jesus in heaven by faith through his grace so you can sit down. By grace, I can sit. No longer in jail. I'm no longer in jail. I can sit down. But now, I got to do some walking. I have got to do some walking. And how do we do walking? Here we go. Quick, quick, quick. Confess Christ is in you and that you're in Christ. Here we go. Let's say it. Christ is in me and I am in Christ. Say it, ready? Christ is in me and I am in Christ. So we've got to start saying it. Do not keep it in your heart. Make your mouth agree with your heart. Make your mouth say what's in there. We all know in our hearts, if you've been saved with Jesus, you feel Jesus there. So start saying it. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in me. When you face a difficult situation, a thing that's you're getting stressed, or the enemy starts throwing discouraging words to you, like you're never going to make it, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life, you can't do this, go ahead and cry and make a sin. You know, just stop it. Just say, Christ is in me. He's in my heart. Let it go out your mouth. And you may be feeling in your physical body terrible, but let your mouth say the truth. Don't confess your feelings. Confess your faith. Don't confess your feelings. Confess your faith. Because it's by faith we are saved by grace through faith. Come on. So affirm Christ with you and you in Christ. I'm not going to read this scripture, but write it down. Galatians 2:20. 2:20 is the road that goes through Martinsville. Praise God. So use Galatians 2:20. I'll say it to you real quick. I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Well, he lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Drive on that road. Praise God. Amen. Don't nullify God's grace through discouragement and disappointment. Talk about with what's in your heart. Put no confidence in your flesh. Philippians 3:3. Now you've got Galatians 2:20. Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and put no confidence in our flesh. No confidence. That means you don't agree with it. When you don't feel good, don't agree with your feeling in your flesh. Put your confidence in Jesus. Confiding means to trust somebody. It means don't agree with your flesh. Don't trust your flesh. Don't pacify your flesh. Don't yield to your flesh. Wow. Don't put up with it. Just don't put up with it. Come against it with the sword of your mouth. Glory to God. You've got a sword in your mouth. Use it. Praise God. Number 3, rely in Christ's all sufficiency. He has everything I need. Philippians 4:11. I've learned in whatever situation to be content. I know how to be low. I know how to abound. Paul is not confessing his weakness. He's confessing Jesus in him, no matter how he feels, no matter what he's missing, whether he's in jail or in the court of the king. Christ is in him and he's victorious no matter what. Praise God. Don't talk about your failures. Don't confess your inabilities. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't always talk about how bad you are, how weak you are, how poor you are, how sick you are. Don't say it. Why? Because it brings the focus on you, not on Jesus. Glory to God. We need to put the focus on Him. Renounce your weakness. Renounce it. I renounce my weakness in Jesus' name. I will not pacify my thoughts right now. I will not pacify. I will not yield to those things. I will walk in God's grace because I'm saved by grace. It's a gift of God. Confess that you can do all things through Christ. It's right there in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means that when you're walking in grace, you're walking in situations where you're doing good in the flesh, and then you're not doing good in the flesh. You're still saying, I can do it no matter what, if I'm having a good day or a bad day. If my body feels fine and it don't feel fine. If I got to go to the hospital or I got to go to a party, I still can do all things through Christ because He strengthens me. He gives me everything I need. He is everything I need no matter what situation. And we're walking in that right now, everybody. We are walking in some situation. We're thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? And sometimes God will allow you to come into a situation where there's no other answer but a miracle. And even then you win. You win. You're winners because of Jesus. And I can tell you one after another situations where we did not have money in the bank. And then God sent a fire to put $100,000 in our bank account. There was no way we could fix up this place. There was no way that we could buy this property. But He told DuPont to give it to us. No way. No way. Ever. It's grace. It's grace. We got to be positive and thankful to God for everything He's done. Amen. Because He's done it. Amen. Praise God. Don't be conceited in Christ, but be contented in Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, to keep me from being conceited, I got a thorn in my flesh. Now, you know the thing about these little thorns, or you ever get a little thing in your, you know, like a little thing in your thing? It's a tiny little thing in there, a splinter, but man, it bugs you and you will not rest until it comes out. Come on now. And that's how God sees your problems. It's really, really tiny, and it bugs you a whole lot. How about letting Jesus take care of it? Because it's not that much in His eyes. It's just a little thorn. You can deal with it. Small pain that gets a big attention. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, we do that too much. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you to walk in. Praise God. So I'm not going to be conceited about my spiritual revelation. I'm going to walk in my contentedness. It's okay to feel weak. Why? So you'll rely more on God and confess His provision. It's fine. Go ahead. Make my day. Right? That kind of expresses it. Just go ahead. Make my day. That was, by the way, Carmen said that in his song, too, that way back in the day. Problems come. Why? Problems come when we get to the point where we think that we can handle it without God. That's when we stop walking in grace. We think, well, I got this. I saw God do this for me before, and God did this for me before, and so I'm no problem. I'm just going to do this. And next thing you know, you're getting slammed. And you're like, whoa, God, why are you letting me get slammed so much like this? Because you need to keep relying on God's grace. God will always take you to the place where you can't do it without Him. Never will He make you such a strong Christian that you won't need Him desperately. He's that kind of God. He doesn't want you to think, oh, no problem. How about, hey, I saw God provide for me. I could tell you, he's provided for me hundreds of times, but then I face another situation. I'm like, God, yeah, good. Good, you're right where I need you to be. Now trust me and watch me work. Watch me do great things for you. You've got to get to the place where you cannot handle it. Praise God. And he's the only one who can. Praise God. Okay, John, here's our last scripture, guys. You've been very patient. If you fail, don't get discouraged. If you mess up, do not beat yourself up. If you mess up, don't beat yourself up. If you mess up, don't beat yourself up. If you mess up, don't beat yourself up. It says in 1 John 2, 1 through 6, that last scripture to write down, 1 John 2, 1 through 6. I'm writing you so that you will not sin, you will walk in grace. Why? If anybody does, come on, if anybody does, yeah, you're going to mess up. We have an advocate with the Father. What does advocate mean? He's on your side. Jesus is on my side. When you fail, he's on your side. He's not looking to pull the chain and plunge you through the toilet. He is there to help you. Never, ever, ever doubt him being on your side. Amen? And then it says he's the propitiation. What's propitiation? A very fancy scriptural word for payment. So he's the payment for our sins. That means when we're forgiven, it's because another person has paid our fine. He's paid our fine, not for ours, but also for the whole world. And it says later on the verses that the love of God is perfected. But look at the last verse. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him or saved, anybody who says he's saved, right? Ought to walk like they're saved. If you're saved, walk like you're saved. Walk like Jesus. The grace is there for you to walk like Jesus, not to just be saved. The grace is there for you to be walking just like Jesus walked. And Jesus did not have a perfect life. He was beat up. They pulled his beard. They stole his clothing. They nailed him to a cross. And he suffered. So if Jesus saves me by grace, we can walk by grace. Because we have joy from him when we don't have joy. When we have sorrow, there's joy. So whenever you're dealing with an emotion, like sorrow, worry, anxiety, fear, think of Jesus as the answer and confess the opposite. So if I have fear, what do you confess? Faith, confidence. When you doubt, what do you confess? I believe. I believe. I believe. The body says doubt, 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 doubt. Your mouth says believe, 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 believe. That's okay. That's normal. That is normal, right? If you're feeling tired, what do you confess? I'm strong. I'm strong. Why? When I'm weak, what does it say? I'm strong. That's what Paul said. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. When do you find Christ's strength? When you are weak. That's how you feel it. That's how you experience it. So the more things get messed up, the more you know God's going to move. Amen. You know it. It's going to happen. Come on. I can just go through different problems or feelings or emotions that we go through. When you feel rejected, what do you confess? I'm accepted in the Beloved. I believe he never, never, ever will reject me. He is always on my side. So you have to say what's in your heart. Say what's in your heart. Why do you say what's in your heart? Because that's where Jesus is. Let his words come out of your heart, not your mind. Sometimes your mind, Jesus isn't always there, it's your mind. So you got to say it from your heart to make your mind kneel. Every knee will bow. Everything in your mind will bow if you start speaking it and confess. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sometimes you have to confess it until the knees go down. Confess it until the knees go down. And you start walking it. You start living it. Your body starts to respond to what your mouth is saying. Because that's the power of the Lord. It is there. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for him that we should walk in them. Can we stand up right now? If we can, let's just praise the Lord for that. And I want you to say right now, I have been seated with Christ, and now I'm going to walk in Christ. You're going to walk in grace. I've been seated because of grace with Christ, and now I'm going to do some walking in grace. I'm going to do some walking in grace. I'm going to do some walking in grace. I'm going to walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace brought me to be seated with him on the throne. And now I'm going to walk in every bit of the grace of God that he has given me when I got saved. I'm going to walk in every situation. I'm going to walk in every trial. I'm going to walk in every temptation. I'm going to walk in every feeling, every thought that comes against me. Everything that might come against me, I'm going to walk in God's grace and find strength where I've been weak. I'm going to find power. I'm going to find ability. I'm going to find wisdom. Wisdom when I don't have knowledge or wisdom. I often pray, Lord, help me figure out what to do next. It's like I wish everything I could do, I would just know exactly what to do or just pay somebody. But no, sometimes the Lord says, trust me to show you what to do. You got to come to that place and say, oh man, I just don't know what to do here. And then the Lord says, just trust me. Speak that I have the wisdom of God in my heart. You begin to say it. And next thing you know, God says, try that. Oh, I didn't think of that. Wow, that's right. It works. God will give you wisdom every day of what to do, how to do it.
The armor.